A lot of lost people out there, a lot of needs out there. A lot of people, for lack of better words, buddy, they're wanting to know if you care enough to come by and see how much they're suffering. And like Molly said, she got a phone call, is that right?
On the way here.
And Margaret got a phone call. And those phone calls are just kind of, you know, reaching out. Let's open her. Anybody got anything else tonight? What you got back there, Sharon?
Keep my friend Georgia in your prayers. They're doing the radiation treatments right now. She's doing so better.
Oh, I remember Georgia. That's Sharon's friend.
And Linda, that we request prayer for the head cancer.
Yeah.
She's doing better. They thought they would have to give her a year's chemo, and it went to 6 months. So she's really doing good.
Amen.
All right. Amen. Linda's doing better. Now, you said the pastor's wife
at Barawalla,
the pastor at Barawalla. I found out about this, Jack Tripp, he's a well-known evangelist. His grandson died in his sleep unexpectedly, and it's been devastating to them, the Jack Tripp family. But I remember the pastor's wife at Barawalla. Gilbert?
Yeah.
Gilbert family, the older guy that got the holding the guitar?
Yeah.
Which one passed away?
His wife passed away this past week.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Remember Brother Gilbert and his family? Small world, it seems like.
She was taking Alice's, and they thought like she didn't need it.
To
me, I thought she could have looked healthy now.
Yeah. Yeah. Old song, maybe it's you, maybe it's me. Someone will be called out to face eternity. We know not who it will be. Maybe it's you. Maybe it's you, maybe it's me. All right. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 34 tonight. Psalms chapter 34. Preach that a psalm this morning. I guess I'll be preaching that psalms again tonight. Not doing that on purpose. I told you I'm just a messenger boy. Just trying to deliver listen to God. But Psalms chapter 34, and we'll read more than one verse tonight. We read one verse this morning. Psalms 126, verse 6, I believe it was. But we'll read verses 1 through 8 tonight. The psalmist said, and you know, I like the book of Psalms. I don't know how much time you spend in the book of Psalms. But in the book of Psalms, you can see people in trouble and what they do when they're in trouble. You can see their prayers. You can see their songs of victory. You can see their fears. You can see all of their sore trials, enemies camping about and all of that. And I like the Psalms. I believe it's probably some of the best medicine for the soul that I know of is the book of Psalms. And if you ain't feeling good and you're having struggling with matters, I say get in the book of Psalms and spend some time there. But Psalms 34, verse 1 through 8, this is a psalm of David when he changed his behavior before Amalek, who drove him away and he departed. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord and He heard me and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto Him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. I like this verse. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. We'll stop our reading right there. And I want to try my best, if I could tonight, to preach on the contents of that last verse. Oh, taste and see. And pray with me tonight. Father, we love You tonight. And Lord, we thank You, Father, for the privilege to be in Your house again tonight. We thank You, Lord, for this many that are here. Far greater than we expected, Father, for a rainy day. And Lord, for a cold day like such as we saw, Lord, the weather take a turn. But Father, I pray, Lord, for just a moment, You could just steal our hearts away and send them upon the things of God. And Lord, may we somehow just strangely, somehow, Lord, may the things of the world just strangely go dim. And may I pray, Lord, the light of heaven shine, Lord, here tonight. And Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to leave here tonight, Father, saying it's been good to be in God's house. And Father, I pray for the hungry and the thirsty tonight, that You'd set a table that they could come and be satisfied in the good things of God. Lord, I want to thank You for all You do and praise You no matter what You do. And I ask for Your help tonight, and I'll give You the praise for what's ever done. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. The psalmist, fear, and that's a tremendous word in that verse number 8. It's almost like an invitation. David says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him." That sounds to me like David is trusted in the Lord. It also sounds to me like David is satisfied for doing it, and he's recommending that others do it. And as much as I would like for everyone to do it, not everyone's in a hurry to receive the Lord. Not everyone's in a hurry to get in church and to grow in the Lord. And by the way, we do need to grow. The church, I know to some degree it's a nursery, but it don't need to stay a nursery. What bothers me is the church been operating for 40 some years and they're still passing out pacifiers and changing diapers. And I say that, some of you probably understand what I'm saying, and others may think he's crazy, but I'll tell you, some churches have not grown at all. Some churches, they're just as a baby as they were when they first got saved. And I'll tell you right now, we need to grow to that stature of stability, that we can stand against the wiles of the devil, that we can war a good warfare. We know what the armor of God is. We know what to do when the devil shows up. I'll just tell you right now, whether you want to or not, there's no discharge from this war. We're in a war. It's a war between evil and good. One of the reasons the devil's accomplished so much is because the church is in an infant stage and it needs to step up and get on board. Amen. Amen. The Bible says that the natural man receiveth not the things of God, neither can he know them. Here David is in this verse. He's saying, you ought to come up here and get you some of this. He's saying, boy, it's good. I've seen a lot of things, and some of it, Molly made I don't remember if it was a cake or pie she brought to the last fellowship. I just remember it was butterscotch, and I couldn't get enough of it. But to look at it, you wouldn't know it was butterscotch and how she got that much flavor in that thing. I still don't know, but I'll tell you right now, it made you want to get more than one scooping of it. Some things, you don't know exactly how good they are until you partake of them. That's kind of what the psalmist is saying here. He said, until you partake of what I'm talking about, you'll never know how good it is. And I'll tell you one thing, those that are truly saved, those that are truly repented, and have tasted of the heavenly things, I don't know how in the world they can ever go back. Amen. That's why I always wonder, Brother Billy, did they really? You know, I think they say sometimes doctors pass out sugar pills because they think it's in the mind. I just wonder if sometimes people, instead of getting truly saved, they make a profession and there ain't no possession. That scares me. I'm always afraid when a little child comes forward. I always want to be careful. And even when someone's not a little child come forward, I always want to be careful, because if someone's coming to get saved, I want them to get saved.
Amen.
I don't want to come up here and leave just like it came up here, and I ain't really got anything to do with it. Me and Brother Vernon both raise our hand. All we do is stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. But I'll tell you right now, God's got something to do with it, buddy. I'll tell you right now, buddy, when God gets in a man, buddy, there's an immediate change. And it's a noticeable change. I mean, even he may not be able to understand it, but all can see it, including him, amen. And I've seen it time and time again, and I like to see it, amen. But I'll tell you where it comes from. It comes from God, amen. The world ain't got nothing like that to offer. They can give you the look. They can give you the words to say, but they can't give what God can, amen. Bible talks about that natural man. He can't never see the things of God without the help of God. Whoever it is, he or she, that's in darkness, Jesus told Nicodemus, he said, except the man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Now they see it, but not like those that are saved see it. Jonathan tasted a little bit of that honey, and he said, my eyes have been enlightened because I tasted a little bit of that honey. And I'll tell you right now, buddy, you taste a little bit of that honey and your eyes will be enlightened too. You'll start, I don't know about everybody else in here, but I know about me. When I got saved, I started noticing the birds singing.
Amen.
I started noticing the sun and the wind and the trees. And I started noticing the handiwork of God. Before, I just walking according to the course of this world. But I tell you what, I started noticing now. I knew why those birds were singing, Brother Melvin. I knew who they were singing to. I didn't notice it before, but I noticed it now. I mean, it had been there all along, but I didn't notice it before. But now all of a sudden, buddy, I realized God had His hand in all that stuff.
Amen. Sure,
I started looking and seeing a lot of things different than I saw them before. Someone said one time, and I'll be kind tonight, said this little boy had these little kittens, and this certain preacher come up, and like I said, I'll be kind tonight. I certainly don't want to ruffle nobody's feathers, but he said, what kind of kittens is them, son? And he said, these are so-and-so kittens. He went and got his preaching buddy. He said, tell him what kind of kittens them are, boy. He said, them's Baptist kittens, sir. He said, hold on a minute. That day you said them was so-and-so kittens. He said, yeah, that's for to get their eyes open. Anyway, that's kind of like what getting saved is. You get your eyes open. All of a sudden now you start noticing God and stuff. I mean, it's hard to look at anything and not see God in it. I don't know about y'all, but man, I see Him everywhere I look. Everywhere I look, I see the evidence of God. And I'll tell you what, buddy, I wish the world had a good dose of Him. But Jesus said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. The Bible talks about the God of this world with a little G in the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. It said, He blinds the minds of many, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine into them. Boy, I'll tell you what, I thank God for the day them blinders got took off of me. Hallelujah, I started seeing what God wanted me to see all along, amen. But the Bible says, God commanded the light to shine even into our hearts the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And the devil is never going to let the lost find their way out of darkness. He doesn't want you to know what you're missing. He wants to keep you as long as he can right the way you are.
That's right.
I'll tell you right now, you'll have to break loose, buddy. I asked Donnie to come tonight. And I'm glad he did. He made some ribs a while back and he was telling me how good they were. And I couldn't hardly wait to put some of them in my mouth. He told me about them. And I was about like a hog looking for the slop. He brought them over here and I said, man, them's the best ribs I ever eaten, Don. He said, that ain't nothing. I didn't fix them. I'd wait till next time. But you know what? That's kind of what I'm preaching now. He already knows how good they are and I'm just hearing about it and want some of it. That's kind of the way this is. You hear about it, and the more you hear about it, the more you want it, amen. And if we can just get to look at it, we'll find ample supply for all that want it, amen. My mama, and it will be a glad reunion day. My mama, Sharon, made some of the best cornbread that I've ever eaten my entire life. Somebody said, yeah, you're mama's boy. That's true. I won't deny that. But I'll tell you one thing. I'd give anything just to have a morsel for cornbread. I love cornbread. I believe I'd rather eat cornbread than anything in the world. Y'all look at me like you want to, but I believe I'd rather have cornbread than have ribeye steak. I love good cornbread. I could eat my weight in it. I love it. And one reason I guess I love it is because we're going to have cornbread in heaven. Psalm 78. Look in your Bible, Psalm 78. See if you can get it. And make sure I don't misquote the verse here. Psalm 78. Look at verse 24. These women, well, Margaret ain't, but I think Molly is. Psalm 78, verse 24, talks about men eating that manna that come down from heaven. Said men eat the corn of heaven. Sound like cornbread to me. May not be, but I'll tell you one thing, buddy. If God allowed, I'd like to have another piece of mama's cornbread and I get to heaven. Amen. And I can tell y'all how good it was. Y'all can hear about it, wonder how good it was. But I'll tell you one thing. I may not have a lot of money in my billfold, but I'd give all the money I got just to give another pan of mama's cornbread. Man, that's good. And me and Melvin out doing some visiting tonight. Him and Billy Huckabee was talking about this recipe at Bob's Pool Room. They sold the recipe for these hamburgers. What it was, they mixed pork in with the beef and it gave it a unique taste. And they sold that recipe for whole lot of money.
Chopped up onions on
it. Yeah. But you see, they told me about it, and I'm sitting there thinking, I wonder how good that was. And one thing I'm saying all this for is we're talking about God. You can find out how good it is. That's why the psalmist has said, oh, taste and see. It's something everyone ought to experience. It's something everyone ought to do. It ought not be born and not try God out. And I'll tell you right now, if you don't get a hold of God in that fashion, you'd be better off never to have been born.
Amen.
Man, it's something I wish everybody could have it. I wish I could go through life, Brother Melvin, giving out free samples, saying, here, try you a little of this. They'd come back and say, where can I get some more of that at? And we'd tell them, go see Jesus. He's got oceans of it. And I'll tell you, it said good, Brother Billy. It said good. And I'll tell you what, buddy. They need a Philip to guide them. They're not going to find it on their own. They need someone to come and talk to them and plead with them. They need someone to pray for them.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, buddy, we've got our work cut out. Because the devil, he don't want lost people to know how good it is.
That's right.
Now, I say this tonight with a grain of salt, we are to make more of a do about it. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, and we say so little, I believe we would say a whole lot about it.
Yeah.
I don't know about y'all, but I ain't ashamed. I brag on Jesus every chance I get. I overdid it. I mean, I talk to people that knew me, and I didn't know them, and I'm asking them if they're saved, and they're looking at me like a calf looking at a gate. But to be honest with you, I just want to be sure I meet all and tell all about Jesus as I can. I've done it today, two people. Both of them knew me and I didn't know them. You Christian? Yeah, Brother Eddie. Uh-oh. Yeah, I've been there and done that more than once. I was witnessing this one girl one time. She said, I'm the pastor's daughter, buddy. I said, okay, just want to see. Well, I'll just tell you right now, buddy. That's why we're here.
That's right.
We ought to be not just ambassadors, but we ought to be satisfied testimonials of this good salvation. Some people say, I can't live it. Hey, I can't either. I don't know anyone that can. Christ said, the life I now live, I live by the Son of God. If Jesus, if He's inside, He'll help you.
Amen.
If He's not inside you, you for sure ain't going to live it. But I'll tell you what, I know what to do when I fall down and get back up.
Amen.
I know what to do when I fail. I go ask. I don't know how y'all pray. We was over there last night, and Arnold, the guy I was talking about this morning, Arnold Blakely, he said, I always pray for everybody else. I'll never pray for myself. I said, well, Arnold, brother, I love you. But I said, two things you're missing out on. One, you need to be praying to be delivered from evil temptation. Another thing you need to do, you need to pray to be forgiven because you sin every day. And so do I. And so do all of us. If y'all don't know it, the Bible said we're transgressors from the womb. We come out of the womb speaking lies. It's not that we got so great a halo, it's got we got
so large horns. And that's why on your knees is a good place to stay. That's why the Bible talks about that we are cleansed by the water of the Word. It's talking about the blood of His Son Jesus cleansed us from all sin. We get dirty down here. We get dirty. Samson had his Delilah. David had his Bathsheba. Amnon had his Tamar. Judah had his Tamar. Solomon had his many strange wives. I'll just tell you, you get dirty down here. Don't look at me like a fence post. I wish women would wear sufficient clothing. The Bible tells me and you that we're all men of like passion. That means no S, no supermen, just common men. And when I hear, I read about a man in the Bible, he's a man after God's own heart and God just bragging on him. And then he does what he does with Bathsheba because it's a time when kings go out to battle and he walks up to the top of the castle and notices a beautiful woman over there bathing. That's not the problem. The problem is he had her brought to him because he's the king. I'll just tell you, buddy, pray to be delivered from evil temptation. Pray to be forgiven. Pray that God will not only order your footsteps, but help you to walk in them. The Bible said the steps of a good man are... Well, thank you, Brother Melvin. The Bible says make straight paths for your feet. I think a lot of people do this. They jaywalk. They're in the Spirit one minute and in the world the next. Makes me wonder if they really got it or not. But I'll tell you what, buddy. If the saved lived righteous, godly, and sober in this present evil world, it'd probably have an effect on the lost. And the lost would want to know, can I get some of that? Where do I get some of that? I want to taste and see the things of God. I believe, buddy, that's the reason we're failing in our mission. We need to set the standard as high as we can set it and keep it there. But the lost, not only are they in darkness, but they don't even realize what they're missing, amen. And let me say this, there are pleasures in sin. Don't think they're not. I mean, why in the world would someone shoot their veins full of heroin? I remember one time at home, I don't remember if it was on Discovery Channel or Teach and Learn Channel, but they had this black guy on there. And he just told the truth about heroin. He said, the first time I shot up with heroin, he said it was the greatest high in the world. And he said, I've spent the rest of my life and all the money I've earned all my life trying to get back to that high. Why spend your money for that which satisfieth not? Waste your money on something, buddy. I'll tell you what, it won't nothing but take you further than you want to go and keep you along and you want to stay and make a ruin and a wreck out of your life. Why not get the high God gives?
Yeah.
I tell them all the time out there at work, Brother Vernon. They talk about taking them drug tests. I said, I won't pass. You won't pass? I said, no, sir, I won't. I won't pass. I can't believe it. You won't pass your drug test? I said, no, I've been high on Jesus 25 years. I'm going to stay there, Brother James. Not only my wife, she said, you can't stay on the mountain. I said, I ain't staying. I ain't coming down till I have to. Show me that in the Bible where you can't stay on the mountain. Amen. I'll tell you right now, I know there's a valley down there. I'll go down there when I have to, but other than that, I'm on the mountain. Amen. That black man, he said, that first shot of heroin, I never took any drugs. Alcohol is a drug. I did that drug. But he said that first shot, he said, I went into the greatest high. You know the devil, he lies to people. He said, boy, try this, you'll like it. He said, boy, you just don't know what you're missing, try this. He's wanting to enslave people.
Right.
That black man, I looked, boy, it took its toll on him, Brother Melvin. I wish they had a picture of him. And I go into jails a lot, and it does show people before meth and after meth. You take a beautiful young girl like Margaret's, that's your niece. Like Margaret's niece, it'll show a picture of her. Then after Meth, it shows over here, and she looks like she's 90 years old, and she's not that old. It just took its toll on her. But the devil, he offers things. Yeah, he offered Jesus the whole world if he bowed down and worshiped him. But you know what? He's an enemy giver. If he wants to give anything, he'd take it back. But God gives good things. The Bible says every good gift comes down from above.
Yeah.
I'll tell you, buddy, God wants you to have the good things in life.
Amen.
He wants you to have the blessings of knowing Him, the blessings of walking with Him. There ain't nothing. What kind of price can you put on pilling your head at night? And all the only you got to worry about Molly's waking up in heaven. What a blessing. I told this before, Billy, and I hate to tell it again, but I will. I was driving home from work one time after having a rough day at work. Nothing went right. I got a little frustrated thinking, man, I'm glad that's over with. And on the way home, I had the radio, and I don't listen to them at Christian radio because I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And anyway, I had that radio on, and this woman, she called in on the radio. And she said, I'm a millionaire several times over. And what she said, I couldn't believe. She said, I'll give every penny of it for one night's peace. She said, I don't have any peace. And then, just since she said that, Brother Melvin, I realized how rich I was.
Mm-hmm.
I was crossing the railroad tracks right there on the bypass in Glasgow, Kentucky. And I thought I was poor. I thought I was in poverty, Donnie. But just by what she said, it made me realize just how rich I was. Amen. Old song says, count your many blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. They're not able to be numbered for multitude.
Amen.
And all the things of God are free. The world, if they do give you anything, they're going to charge you for it. Then they're going to come try to get it back. I'll tell you, buddy, the things of the world and the things of God are not anything in common at all. But the lost, there is pleasure in sin, but it's for a season. I guess it was burning this morning talking about in Genesis there where God said He put the moon up there for the seasons. And where that moon is in relationship to the sun is where we get the spring, the summer and the fall and the winter and all that right there. And anyway, there are seasons in sin. In the spring of sin, it's fun. We had a play over here one time, and Andrew was up here, and he's standing behind this box, and it said sin, and he said, boy, I'm having a good time. Molly was helping in that, I believe, and I believe he was, the little ones.
I don't know.
Yeah, and he said, boy, I'm having a good time, and all of them was pleading with him, and he's about that time, he said, boy, this ain't no fun no more. He thought he could just step out of that. And I remember at the end, he said, somebody help me. Somebody help me. And that's what he's saying is, in the spring of sin, you don't want nobody to tell you any different. Man, you want to go get your fill of sin. You want to enjoy the pleasures of sin. And I've done it. But I'll tell you this, it don't satisfy.
No.
And it's for a season. A lot of people don't make it to where I made it. They don't make it out of that. Some people, Brother Melvin, they try sin and it's a one-time deal. OD right there, one time. HIV, one time. One little taste of sin, slave for the rest of life. I've seen it time and time again. I've been in the jails and maximum security prison. I've seen the toll that sin takes on people, but they don't realize as they're enjoying those pleasures in that sin, they don't realize that there's a payment. And sin demands a payment. And that payment, the Bible said in Romans 6:23, that the wages of sin is death. And I'm glad it doesn't stop there. Rest that verse says, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ the Lord. If I'd have known what I was missing out on, I'd have sought salvation a whole lot earlier than 34 years old. I'll just tell you that right now. And so would have you. if you'd have known what you was missing out on. But God, He never gave up on me. I remember God coming to me at 18 years old in my backyard. I remember my grandfather coming up there to me. I remember him pleading with me. And I told y'all about them tears this morning. He had glasses a half inch thick. Them tears looked like bowling balls rolling off his cheeks. And I saw them tears run down his cheeks as he said, "Horsefly, I sure wish you'd get saved." Yes. Now I'm in my field, got my bottle of beer behind me, my shirt off. And I said, "Papa Ed, not now. I wish I'd had more sense. I wish I'd said, 'Papa Ed, let me pour this out. Tell me about Jesus.'" God. That's what the psalmist is talking about here. Like my grandfather, he was saying, "Oh, taste and see, grandson. See how good this is before you turn it down.
Yeah.
Try and see what you're missing." Man, I don't know. It's in a category all its own. God said, "With whom will you compare me to? There's none to compare and there's no likeness to Him." He's in a category all His own. But the good thing is, even with a nail hole in His hand, He said, "All the day long, my hand is outstretched." He still holds that hand up. He stretched it out to me, Brother Vernon. I still don't really understand the love of God. I've tried. I can't understand God's love, but it's an unconditional love. And even though I had made fun of the church, made fun of preachers, and made fun of getting saved and God, and shook my fist and thought I was Mr. Macho Man or whatever, and I was shaking my fist in heaven, daring God to intervene in my life at the age of 34 years old, I'm glad God still reached back and sent a little 8-year-old boy in my bedroom. Brother Melvin, God knew what would move this man. I didn't know it. I could have stood up with you toe to toe and gave you the roughest time you'd ever had in your life. I could have stood up against Brother Vernon. I could have gave him the worst time ever was, or even Molly. But I couldn't, that little 8-year-old boy.
Amen.
God knew what it would take to bring old Eddie Wade down.
Yeah.
How He done it, I still stand amazed, and I won't tell all that tonight. But at the request of a little 8-year-old boy, I saw the real Eddie Wade for the first time in my life. God pulled back the mirror that I've been looking in and put His mirror instead in place, and I saw myself lost and undone. And even though I reluctantly did, I went to church with my family, heard for the first time the message, the love of God, the gospel, and God started dealing with me. And the Bible says that the preparation hearts of the Lord, God said, "My spirit will not always strive with man." Well, He started striving with me, and I started seeking Him. I was a little crude in my method. I thought somehow I could get the window shut and He could just tell me, "Eddie, Jesus will save you just like this." And even when I got the window, He said, "Eddie, let me give you an illustration. If your little boy done something wrong, come to you and said, 'I'm sorry,' what would you do?" I said, "Window, I'd forgive him." He said, "It's the same way with God, Eddie." And there was faith sprung up from that, Brother Melvin. And I knew that I'd forgive my little boy no matter what. And for some reason or another, right then, I believed God to forgive me no matter what. And that little mustard seed of faith in my heart, if I could have, and I will say this tonight best I can, if I could have, I would have waited till Sunday and got saved. I got saved on a Monday. I come back to Bethel Baptist Church on a Wednesday night and opened up that door, and before I could even tell my pastor, he said, "You got saved, didn't you?" That's what kind of difference I'm talking about. He told me. I come through that door, I guess I was 100 watt plus. I wanted to tell him I got saved, Brother Man. When I opened that door, he said, "You got saved, didn't you?" I'm telling him, woo! I find no fault in him, boy. I find no fault in his love for all souls. I find no fault in his long suffering grace. I find no fault in the plan that he's got for humanity. I find no fault in him, amen. Woo! What a God. He searched me out and He found me and brought me to the saving knowledge that I hold so dear today. Oh, is God seeking you tonight? Or are you seeking Him tonight? Well, I'll tell you what to do. The psalmist said, oh, taste and see. I'm still looking forward to trying them ribs out, Donnie. I'm still looking forward, if it be possible, to get a piece of Mama's cornbread. But I thank God for today that I tasted the Lord. And I can say I know it's good. I got a buffet line, Molly. Just a little taste wouldn't do. And you can have all of God you want. Someone told me one time, Brother Eddie, how can I get more of God? I said, just let go of more of the world. The more of the world you can let go, the more God you can hold on to. But if you're going to hold the world in one hand and God in the other hand, you're going to be in a great strait. You're going to be a double-minded man. You'll be unstable in all your ways. You're going to be tossed to and fro. There ain't going to be no stability at all. You ain't going to know nothing except, buddy, you don't know which way, this way, or that way, or whatever. You're on the fence, and I'll tell you right now, let go!
Amen.
Get God. Be the best trade you ever made. Hold taste and see. I wish I could do it again. I'd give anything. I really do. Oh, Lord. I wish I could do it again. It said good. I'll tell you what, something that wonderful. They want to outlaw it. Something that wonderful. They want to offer some kind of counterfeit. Something that wonderful. They want to try to somehow speak against it. But I'll tell you what, God's still saving people. No doubt somebody's getting saved tonight. No doubt somebody gets saved when now morning, Brother Billy. And I tell you what, those that get saved, I can just see them right now. I can see them on the phone. I just got saved. Some people, it's like you just got the measles. They start running away from you, but you want to call somebody up. I remember I got on that phone, boy. I got saved, Papa. No, Papa had been gone. I told his wife, Mama, I said, Mommy, I got saved. I said, Mama, I got saved. And I was on the way down there. She's trying to find a hiding place in the wood, man. I knew where she lived. I come in there, she's back there looking somewhere to hide. Here it comes, boy. Mama! I cornered her, buddy. I called Daddy. I run him down too, Billy. I called all my family. They was all scared dead. We couldn't even have family reunions no more. I couldn't help it. You get the can't help it, so don't worry about it. I'll tell you right now, you just don't know what you're missing out on if you don't know Jesus. A man gave a card one time. His name was Bob Whitlow. He was a businessman. And the card said, hi, my name's Bob Whitlow. If you've not met Bob Whitlow, you've missed nothing. But if you've not met Jesus Christ, you've missed everything. That's kind of what this is tonight. Do you know the Lord tonight? Are you sure? He said He knows His sheep by name. He said, my sheep don't know us. It'll make a difference if you know Him. If you don't know Him tonight, let me just say He wants to know you. Let me just say this tonight. He's waiting for you to come to Him. And I'll tell you right now, if you'll call upon Him, it's rich mercy. You'll get to know Him. You'll know Him in an intimate, personal way. I could say tonight, do you know the President? Yeah. And I say, do you know Him personally? We'd all say, no. Well, you can know Jesus personally. Father, we thank You for the thought tonight, for the privilege to brag on Your Son. Lord, we just pray to You, Father God, tonight that, Lord, You would help us get home safely. Lord, if there be any here tonight that has a need, lost or saved, I pray, dear Father God, tonight, You would minister to that need. And Lord, help them with it tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I ask everybody to stand tonight. I don't know how the Word of God went to you, but I'll tell you one thing. You can taste and see. I'll tell you another thing. You have all you want of God. You'll own the grit you've got. Be like me. You wish you'd done it sooner. But you're to make haste. You're to run right now. And say, God, I need to get in touch with You. Me and You need to talk. I want some of that, what Brother Eddie's talking about tonight. It sounded pretty good. But Donnie, I want some of them ribs, buddy. They sound pretty good. But this is better than cornbread. This is better than ribs. This is better than money. This is better than the gold in Fort Knox. This is better than anything I could even list right now. It's the best I know. It's God's Son. Go ahead, Brother Melvin.
175.
You need to come tonight?
I'll tell you what, if you do, it'd be because you're hungering and thirsty.
We to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to sin on the promise, just to know what saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I prove Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus.
Yo, yo, come tonight. Be a good time. Need to come. Come on.
Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to pass His hand in blood, just in simple faith to plunge me in the healing,
cleansing blood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how trust Him more. You're going to have to trust Him not only to save you, but you're going to have to trust Him to give that which you're seeking. But you'll never get it if you don't ask for it. James said you have not because you ask not. Jesus said no, it'll be open, seeking He shall find. I'll just tell you tonight, it's there and you can have it. God wants you to have it. He's waiting for you to ask. You say, well, I done tried, Brother Eddie. Well, the devil's trying to get you to say, that's all. God said, try again. Come again.
Oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Thank you, Brother Melvin. Well, I don't know if there is a need here tonight, but if anybody's got a word on your heart tonight, I'll give an opportunity for that. If you've got a testimony, anything, any thought on your heart tonight, please be safe driving home. I don't know. I don't think anything's going on, but it could be some slick spots out there. Anybody got a word?
Well, I want to thank God for saving my soul.
Bless you, Brother Billy.
He gave His blood for me.
Amen, brother. I'm just like you, boy. Best trade I ever made.
I tell you what, I can't thank Him enough.
Amen. Amen, Brother Billy. I agree 100% with what you said. I can't thank Him enough. No wonder so many songs have been written. No wonder so many books have been written. No wonder so many testimonies have been given. Because it's that good. I like what Billy said. He said, I can't thank Him enough. That's good. That's well said there, brother. We can't. That's true. Anybody else got anything on your heart tonight?
I love you, man. Thank you for saving my soul. I was supposed to stay home, and then the Lord said, you know, you must be
safe.
And I thought, well, you know, if you give the devil an inch, he'll take them off. And I thought, well, you devil, you just get behind me. I'm going to church.
Now, that's victory right there. Amen.
I praise Him for His blood that He shed for me.
Amen.
I love Him. And people that's not really living for Christ, they don't even know what He's all about.
True. That's true. She said it right. They just don't know what it's all about. I like that. She said, I was going to stay home and I couldn't. You see, I believe it was Jeremiah said, I'll not make mention of His name no more. He said His word was like a fire, shut up in my bones, and I couldn't forbear. I like it like that, when you can't keep from doing what you know you ought to do. And she said, I couldn't stay home. We had to come. Afraid I missed out on something.
He said He'd take care of us.
He did.
We've got to put our trust in Him.
That's true.
He'll do what He says He'll do.
Yeah, He'll do, Molly. I appreciate what you said there. Great faith manifested. And anybody else got a word tonight? It's a good place to be.
I had a cramp in my leg. Some people go to church. I was back in my
yeah.
leg there. My goodness, I hate to be a torment.
Yeah.
Forever. It'll be worse than that church.
Yeah. You know, that's just a lot of affliction.
It's a terrible place to be, and it won't be no end to it. And I tell you what, I don't believe the natural body can stand that kind of pain. You'll be there, but
yeah.
It'll have a body, won't burn up. Now, they might as well forget that idea if they think you're going to dissolve. You know, it'll be forever.
Right.
He says, swap their tongue and go forever.
Yeah.
I tell you, a lot of people, if ever get thinking about that, get serious about getting ready to leave here, I like to get on TV and just talk about an hour or two. You know,
yeah,
the program always still let me on there. I like to warn the world about torment, about getting ready to leave here, and about how real God is.
Amen.
And there's a lot of things to be said.
Bless you, Brother Mel.
I wish somebody would get on there.
I like it, how real God is. Amen.
Light in the world, up the lost people, what's about to happen, what's going on.
Yeah.
They're in the dark, it seems like. The devil's getting their eyes on it.
Says the fire is not quenched, and the worm dieth not. I used to work in a factory, and we cooked steel, and we'd pull it out of them ovens, and it would be kind of a transparent orange. We'd take it on this big, long pitchfork, and if it fell off that pitchfork, it would actually melt the concrete. I saw it do it many times. And we'd set it over on this quench thing and hit this foot and jump back. This thing would come down and clamp down on it and flood it with oil, and smoke would just go everywhere. And every time I look in that furnace and I'd see all them gears back through there, I thought that'd be like a North Pole compared to hell. It wouldn't even compare with hell. We're cooking steel and it's as hot as hot could be. If it burned, you'd be fatal. I mean, if it fell on you, it'd be fatal. It'd kill you. It'd just burn through. But it won't even compare with that place that Jesus said He prepared for the devil and his angels.
Been showing these volcanoes, you know, sitting here lately on TV again. I've seen before.
Yeah.
I'm in the melting rocks.
Right.
Now, you talk about hot, you know, pouring down off them mountains and melting rocks. Now, that's possibly up in hell. I ain't sure.
I think every time a volcano erupts, it's just because hell's getting so full, it's got to beat a little bit. That's what I think every time. It may not be true, but I've always thought that in my heart. I've always thought, man, hell's running over. It has been a little bit down there.
It's been larger. Enlarged itself, I believe.
Yeah. To receive thee, hell is large itself to receive thee. And it's like a great white shark will open up its mouth to receive thee. And
I ain't never given no doubts or for anything worth anything to me, the devil had, you know.
Amen.
Momentary pleasure. Don't mount to hell of being, so to speak. But I tell you what, to feel that Holy Spirit is worth more than
anything
you're working over me.
Amen.
And eternal life to boot, you know. And lay down and rest and not have to worry about where you're waking from.
I've heard several people comment that you can't go on feelings. You remember that woman had that issue of blood?
Yeah.
Bible said she felt that she was healed.
Yeah.
So she felt something. I feel a little something every now and then.
Amen.
I don't kick no can, but I feel a little, I don't know about y'all, but I feel a little something every now and then, a little tug on my heart, a little something every now and then. I thank God for those kind of feelings.
I thought from a kid up that they'd be feeling
in
salvation.
Yeah, boy. Boy, that's right. Amen. Anybody else? Are we done tonight? All right. Thank you for coming, and be careful going home. Brother Vern, if you would please, again, would you dismiss us tonight, brother?
Our Father, it's again, Lord, that we humbly look to you to close for another Lord today. We thank you, Father, that you call this message another week. We can go out another Lord today. We're grateful for that, Lord, and the privilege that we have in the land that we live in today.
Yes, Lord.
Help us that we'll ever pray, and that our leaders might see the need, Lord, of preserving those old-time landmarks
that
have been handed down to us generation to generation through the pages of the book called the Bible, Lord. We stand upon them today. We stand firm upon your teachings, Lord, and what it says. And I pray that you'll help us that we might ever take advantage of the privilege you've given us of being able to live for you in this life. Sir, we thank you, Lord, again for your word that will stand when this life here, when this earth and this place that we go today is gone up in fervent heat, Lord. Your word will stand and never change. It will always be infallible, and we will always be that, Lord, that our lives must be judged upon according to your word. I pray, Father, you'll help us that we might always be what you have us to be. Send conviction upon the lost, Lord. We know they'll never be saved. We know that all we say to them, everything that we try to do for them, will be of no avail unless that Holy Spirit convicts them, Lord.
Amen.
I pray that we would see that again in our day, conviction that would come upon them so they could not resist it, Lord, that they'll come and seek you with all of their heart. Bless all the needs and requests that have been made here throughout the day.
bless those that have asked us to remember the prayer. I pray, Lord, that you would deal with each
one. Yes, Father.
Individually, respectively, according to your will and to their needs tonight. Keep us, I pray, help us, Lord, that we can be a light to somebody as we continue our journey on through life, so long as you would have us to be here in our ministry with us, Lord. May we have so lived that we can hear you say, well done.
Bless.
We give you the praise for all in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.